So the previous memra of Shmuel on Daf Tes Samad Aleph, we spent a few days on Shmuel's first memra about the Tabach She'eni Odeya Hilcha Shita, about the unlearned, untrained Shofet. Now we turn our attention to, as the Rambam stresses, the Tabach may be Zohir. You're talking about a Tabach Shofet who's very qualified, confident, he knows his stuff, he's very practically capable. And still, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, HaTabach, a proper Shochet, Tzarek Sheyivdok B'Simonim, Va'achar Shvita. He needs to check the Simonim, the trach in the esophagus, after the Shvita is finished, after Yishach, and he has to pop it out. Rama gives some sense of how you pry out the cut ends. If we have, at some point, maybe we'll have a opportunity for Shofet to come in and we could see the Noi 9 what this looks like. The Shofet has to check the trach in the esophagus afterwards. You see that they were properly cut, specifically that he cut at least rov. So the Mishnah, the second parak, says you have to cut, if not the entire simen, at least rov simen. The Shofet has to check that. The poser we showed him here gets very involved in some of the details, which again, if we have a chance to see live demonstrations, we'll maybe appreciate more. They talk about proper and improper ways to check. You don't check with the feathers, you have to check the right way, not the wrong way. You have to make sure you're actually looking at the right things. You're seeing the whole area. Like you saw this morning with Zilas Hasharim. You have to have enough perspective to actually see what's going on. Be able to actually have a good angle on the entire trachea, the entire width of the trachea and esophagus, so you can properly measure, did I indeed succeed in cutting at least a rove of the simen. Again, for a bird, you have to cut a rove of one simen. For a behemoth, you have to cut a rove of each of the simen. So Shmuel says, even if he's an expert shochet and he has an intuitive feel, and he could tell they did a good shlita, he still has to check after it. So Shehivdek b'simanim achar l'achar ha-shlita. And then Rav Yosef says, afana namitaminu. This idea of Shmuel, it's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah. He's formulating more explicitly what already appears in the Mishnah. Rav Shimon Omer, Im Shalki Dei Bikur. And the Mishnah of Daf Lama Beis Amud Aleph, we've already seen the previous sugya, in the context of seeing the Kulu Tananu, the sources for the Hei Hilcha Shchita. That is the Mishnah of Shehiyah. The Mishnah says that if it's some of you paused, you began the Shchita, then you stopped for some reason, some of your clothing dropped to the floor, or he was feeling faint, or whatever the case may be, but there was a break in the Shechita, and then you resume. So the Mishnah says if there's a sufficiently long break, then the Shechita is Psula. That is on the Hail of Shechita, that's the soul of Shehiyah. What does the Mishnah say? How many Shechitos are there? So there's a Shechita of Shehiyah?
Two.
And there are two. No one disagrees with the idea of Shechita, the Shehiyah. The question is just how long it is. Not for Sakhi, the Igbiya mission, first mission of Israel. After the knife fell in the middle of the sheet, began to shaft, you dropped the knife, and you reached down to pick it up. It took a little while to pick it up. Or not for Kayla, the Igbiya, and so my clothing fell. I was wearing a scarf, I was wearing a hat, whatever it is, and it fell off during the Shita. I leaned down, I stopped checking to pick it up. Or number three, Hishkiz is Hasakin, Hishkiz is to sharpen. In the middle of the Shita, I start. Rashi understands it is right before the Shechita, I was sharpening the knife, and that's hard work. It can sometimes be physically draining. We'll have a chance, Meretz Hashem, tomorrow morning, before you start shir, to get a chance to see what Hashchaza Sakin actually looks like, and maybe some more as well. But this is, courtesy of DJ Watowski, this is what you would use as a sharp stone, a whetstone, that you would use to sharpen a knife. If you want to really get sharp, we'll see some more tomorrow, but what it means is knife shouldn't have to be exquisitely sharp. So it could sometimes take a lot of physical labor. It doesn't sound like it should be so hard, but it could be a procedure. So let's say the fellow was busy right before the shchita, he was busy sharpening the knife, and then Rashi says, we off! And he was so worn out, but then he starts shechting, and then in the middle of the shchita, he just starts to feel not well. He had to stop. So what else comes by? Who completes the Shechita? So for some reason or another, there was a break in the action. He started the Shechita, and then there was a temporary pause, and then the Shechita resumed. So Im Shohak is a Shechita Psula. Tanakhama says that Shehi Apostles, if it's the length, the amount of time, that the length of that pause was the amount of time it takes to do a Shechita. And Rabbi Shimon has what sounds like a much shorter shear, Im Shohak is a Bikur. Even if you only pause in the middle of the Shechita for the amount of time it takes to make a bikur, to check, that already is long enough that that's the Shehiyah HaPoselas is HaShechita. So the Mishnah, so that Mishnah, the official topic of that Mishnah is the Psul Shehiyah. Everyone agrees it's the Psul Shehiyah. Machlokes HaTanam, how long is the shear for Shehiyah to be the Psul Shehiyah? Our Gemara is not talking ostensibly about the din of Shehiyah. Our Gemara is talking about after the Shechita is done and the Shofet feels he did it properly, he still has to do Bedikas Siman. Rabbi Yosef said, if you look at that Mishnah, you'll see that the Mishnah, in addition to talking about Shehiyah, is also telling us about the requirements for Bedikah. Afana Nami Tanina, says Rabbi Yosef, Amora of Yosef. Rabbi Yosef lived a generation after Yehuda. Shmuel is the first generation of Amora. By one of the first generation of Amoroi Babel, his Talmud of Yehuda is quoting, my Rebbe Shmuel said that the Shochet has mechuyev to do a bedikas simanim, and then in the next generation, Rav Yosef says, you know what, Shmuel is taka rooted in the Mishnah. I have a riot to Shmuel for the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, the second sheet in the Mishnah, Mishag de Bikur, the Shir Shehiyah is a Kedei Bikur. Kedei means the amount of time we take to do bikur. So my love can be bikur simanim. Sounds like it means this then. Apparently, you're mechuyev to check simanim. So all shochetim know what that is. If you waited that so long, the amount of time, the number of seconds it takes to do a bidika simanim, if that was the length of your pause, again, in the middle of the shechita, I shech the part of the way, and then I stop for some reason or another, one of the reasons the Mishnah gives, or some other reason, you shech it up, then you pause for X number of seconds, and then you keep going. So that X number of seconds, that Shehiyah in the middle, was as long as it takes to do Bedika Sivanim, apparently Bedika. Isn't that Bedika Sivanim? Abaye, who was Rav Yosef's Talmud, so here we're seeing four different generations of Aram. Shmuel, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yosef, and Abaye. Abaye says to his Rebbe, well, why is that a riot? Hachi, I'm Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan, Amora, Rav Yochanan was a contemporary of Rav Yehuda, he was also of Shmuel. Shmuel and Rav Yochanan were both Tamidim of Rav Yehuda HaNasi. They're both first generation Amoraim. They're both Tamidim of Rav Yehuda HaNasi. The author, the editor, the compiler of Mishnayos. Gemara Sanhedrin tells some of the story. Rav and Shmuel were older Tamidim. Rav Yochanan was a younger Talmud. Gemara says in one place that Rav Yochanan remembers when he was sitting in yeshivas, he was still a young Talmud, and Rav, who was a contemporary of Shmuel, Rav was sitting up front, Rav Yonasi was saying Shir, and Rav was in the front row, and the sparks are flying between, Rav Yonasi's mouth to Rav's mouth, from Rav's mouth to Rav Yonasi's mouth. So I think there's a Mahalik's Mepharshim, whether that means literally, like there was Alpid Bederach Nes, there's a miracle, that such the Kedusha, the learning was so great that there was Mamash fire. Sometimes elsewhere Chazal described that about some of the Talmud. And I think others understand that it's an expression, sparks were flying. I mean, Rav Yochanan said, like, it was like very high level learning going up there. Like, he wasn't even in the Madrig to fully understand all the shock of the Torah. Rav was a top Talmud, and he was asking back and forth. Rav Yochanan and Sulav was going on, but couldn't grasp the full omic. Whatever it is, Rav Yochanan and Rav Shmuel, they're all Talmidim of Yehuda HaNasi. Rav Yochanan stays in Eretz Yisrael, and he becomes the leader of the first generation of Amoraim Eretz Yisrael. The Talmud Yerushalmi is built off of the Torah of Rav Yochanan. And Rav and Shmuel, they go on Shlichut, they head out, lead out, to lead yeshiva, Rav gets Micha, Shmuel does not. The Gemara says, they head off to take leadership positions, rabbinic positions in Babel, and the Takamar says, later in Armasekta, and in Terek HaBasar, there was a tremendous amount of Amoratzis. Rav comes to Babel, and the people don't know, like the Alf base of Bas B'chala, so they come to the town of Taklafush, Gemara HaBasar. Rav comes to the town of Taklafush, and he hears religious Jewish women swapping recipes, you know, for Bas B'chala. He hears this one woman asking another one, how much milk, you have a quarter pound of meat, a river, derivative de bisra, a quarter pound of meat, how much milk do you use to boil a quarter pound of meat? It's a gefalt. Religious people, mamash, incredible amaratzes. So he begins to work, begins to teach, begins to make theirs. So anyhow, so Rav Shmuel Becher, they're all Tamidim, Rabbi Yonasi, all first generation Amaram. So Abaye says to Yosef, you think that this Mishnah Lamed Beis is a riot to Shmuel? No, it's not. The Mishnah says Rav Shimon, and the Mishnah says Bidei Bikur. But who's you're assuming that Bidei Bikur means Bikur Simanim? I found the Raya Mishnah is to the notion of Bikur Simanim. So Abaye says, no, that's not what it means. I heard the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Obviously, you didn't hear from Rabbi Yosef, presumably. Hakya Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Pshat, today, Bikur Chacham. It means for the Chacham to check. What do you mean, the Chacham to check? And these last 2 months, this comment of Rabbi Yochanan you saw also appears in the Gemara Lamed Beis. And the Gemara comments on the Mishnah, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan said, today, Bikur Shal Chacham. And the Gemara there asks the same question that Gemara here asks, which is Knasat de Brechel Shiur. What does that mean? What's Bikur Chacham? So going to Yom Beis, Rashi sends you to Yom Beis, we'll get there soon, later, coming up. So Gemara says that you're supposed to bring the knife, the shoker is supposed to bring the knife to the rub of the town, to Tam Chacham in town, to show him the knife, the Chacham should check it. And the Gemara says, why do you have the Chacham check it? If the shoker is an expert shoker, so let him do it himself. If you have a shayla, you come to ask the rabbi. But every single time, I have to show my neck to the rav on a regular basis. What is this? So the Gemara says, it's from kavodo shel chacham. It's a way of showing respect to the rav of the town, to the greatest talmid chacham in the town, with hopes that the rav is a great talmid chacham. So you have to bring the bedikas chacham, the Gemara, la'amr, la'amr, sakat l'chacham, and we'll give you a base, elupne kavodo shel chacham. So that's the thing. The Tabach periodically has to show the knife to the Chacham. So Abaye says, Rabbi Yochanan said that when Rav Shimon in the Mishnah Lamed Beis Amud Aleph says the Shir Shahir Kedei Bikur, he didn't mean Bikur HaSimanim, he meant Bikur HaSakin. There's a thing, you have to show the Sakin to the Tabach. So the Gemara says that's very difficult. Now Sata Divarech Eli Shiurim, you've given over your words to Shi'urim. So a lot of guys are wondering, well, what does that mean? Of course, we're talking about Shi'ur. I mean, Latzat Rech Shi'ur. The answer is that's an expression. What that means is Latzat Rech Shi'ur, you'll find in different places, means that you've just formulated a Shi'ur in a way that's not really determinable. That's not really a fixed number. As Rashi explains, depends how far the rabbi lives. Rashi says, is the shochet down the block from the rabbi, or is he on the other side of town? If you're down the block from the rabbi, it'll take you 3 minutes. You'll walk to the rabbi's house, you'll look at the knife, to come back. If you live on the other side of town, it'll take you 30 minutes. You'll walk all the way over to the rabbi's house for 12 minutes, and come back. So the Gemara says, Tatu Rechel Shurim. That could be endless. That's a very variable number. That's not a fixed shear. You gotta give me a number of seconds, a number of minutes. What do I mean? The amount of time it takes me to walk to the rabbi for him to check the zakin to come back? Well, who knows what that is? But that's endlessly variable. That's what the Gemara answers. No, k'day biker tabach chacham. So that case where there's no walking involved. How come there's no walking involved? Because the tabach, the shochet, he is the chacham. That's how Rashi explains it. There's no greater Talmud Chacham in the town than the Shochet. So that's a rare situation. But actually, the Cologne, what we mean to say is the point is that when the way Yochanan is explaining the Mishnah, it doesn't mean the amount of time it takes to walk back and forth. Just the actual process of checking night, which we will see tomorrow morning. Another time, the number of seconds it takes to check this side, that side, top, 4 times 0, 4 times 0. So that's what we're looking at. So again, the we have a Mishnah, a Machlokas Tanaim, and Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, and then a Machlokas Amaraim, how to understand the Machlokas Tanaim. Machlokas, everyone agrees that this is a Psul Shehiyah. Machlokas Tanaim, what's the Shear for the Psul Shehiyah? Tanakama says the Shear is the amount of time it takes to do a Shlita. And Rav Shimon says, no, much shorter. The amount of time it takes to do a bikur, a bedika. But then, the Machlokas Amaraim, what type of bikur was he talking about? Rav Yosef thought, at least, that it meant bedika simanim, And Abai quote from Yochanan, that's what the Gemara quotes, Pastan from Yochanan, no, not Bidika Siman, Bidika Sakin. Not without the walking, just the process of Bidika Sakin. Okay. So that's the Gemara. Now, you look at, and then the Gemara goes on, which I won't see when we move forward, the Gemara goes on to say, what happens if you didn't do Bidika? Okay, you're supposed to do Bidika Sakin. You're supposed to do Bidika Siman. Again, Shmuel says supposed to do Bidika Siman, because Yosef tried to bring a riot for the Mishnah, Abai says no riot for the Mishnah. It doesn't mean that Shmuel is rejected, it says no riot for the Mishnah. Okay, Shmuel is perfectly capable of formulating a din without a source in Tanakh. So the Gemara is going to move on to talk about, okay, Shmuel says he's supposed to do a Bidika, that was a Chatkil even Bidiyat. That's the next piece of Gemara. Which, again, the part of significance of that question is not only to the halachah l'maisa, what do you do if you didn't do a bedika, which could be hundreds if not thousands of dollars on the line. I checked it, and then we didn't check the knife. The knife fell, it got bumped, so we didn't have a chance to check it, and now what? Kasher shechita, not kasher shechita, did you have it? We read to the shechita, and we didn't have a chance to do a bedika. Now, that's obviously a very practically relevant shayla. Also, that shayla, we assume, is going to give us more insight conceptually, as lamdanim, into what? What fundamental conceptual question might bother you when you learn this first piece of Gemara? When Gary asked me during Seder, I'm sure many of you were thinking about this during Seder. The fundamental question might be, what Shmuel says is a need for Bedika Sakin, a need for Bedika Siman, excuse me. So you might wonder, well, why? Here's a Shochet. In the previous Gemara, the Shochet didn't know Hilchos Shechita. So it's a serious topic. Did he do it right? Did he do it wrong? We have a Shochet who knows what he's doing. He's an expert. So if he feels he needs to do a bedika, let him do a bedika. But why is there really, you always have to do a bedika? Let's say he knows he did a great job. He can tell. He has the chiyuv to look. What's with the chiyuv to look? So that's what might be bothering you. And we assume that diving into the next piece, the shayla lo badak mai, which is coming up, is, again, as I said before, not only a practical halacha ma'isa shayla worth hundreds if not thousands of dollars. Let's say he did a shechita, he never got to do a bedika simanim. Excuse me, not tonight. No bedika simanim. Something happened to that area of the neck before you had a chance to do the bedika. So now is it practically relevant, but if trying to figure out what happens if you didn't do it, how costly is this, will give us some, how impactful is the bedika, may give us some sense into why it's important to do bedika. But even before you get to why it's important to do bedika, which again, that's the next piece of Gemara, Rabbi Akiva Kamenetsky points out that these shi'urim are very interesting. These shi'urim are very interesting. And what's remarkable, the Gemara, it's a Mishnah Lamed Beis, but the Gemara talks about more here in Daf Tes than Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis might just quote Rabbi Yochanan. Here we have to hear Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan, multiple versions. Here's where you have the Machlokas Amarav by how to understand Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah. What's not going on here? So this is interesting shiur, right? The din of shehiyah, and either the shiur of shehiyah is the amount of time it takes to check to make sure your knife is kosher, or the amount of time it takes to check and make sure that the shechita was done properly, that you cut enough, specifically, or the amount of time it takes to actually do a shechita. Those are the three options. Put together the two tanam, the two amaran, those are the three options you have. Really interesting numbers. Where are the numbers coming from? So really, Jack Kamesky points out, well, maybe those numbers... And let's bear in mind also, there's an added twist. Not only does this Gemara introduce us to three possible shiurim for the shiur of Shehiyah, but Rav Yosef also thought that this is a raya that you need to do Bedika Siman. Because after all, Rav Shimon, he thought, Yechon disagreed, but Yosef thought that Rav Shimon was presenting Bedika Simanim as the Shir Shehiya, and therefore you see that you have to do Bedika Siman. Right? How did you see, therefore you have to do Bedika Siman? How do you see you have to? The Mishnah mentioned something about Kidei Bikur. The amount of time it takes to do Bedika Siman, how do you, therefore you have to do it? You surely could. You might want to. You have to. So Rabbi Yaakov points out, if you think about this Gemara, it could be that what's going on is that these are all reasonable amounts of time to determine whether you're Masiach Das or not, whether you're Mafsik or not. I should take a look at a series of Gemaras in Brachas, in Rosh Hashanah, a famous Gemara in Brachas, in Daf Mem. This Gemara, the very top. The Gemara says, this is Gemara you've come across before. It's a Gemara by Hilchos Brach, Birkas Hamotzi. That I make the Birkas Hamotzi, and then I realize I don't have a knife. I realize I'm going to cut the bread. I realize I don't have the salt or the sauce, the spread from the bread. And how am I going to eat? I could eat without salt. I could eat without spread. But Hidur Mitzvah, that's a topic that comes up a number of places in Sefer Brachos, that there is a notion of Hidur Mitzvah in the world of Birkas Hananin. So the Mitzvah Rabban say it, say Brach Rishonah food. And we want, ideally, that the first food that you eat, the food that you hold while you make the bracha and that you eat from initially, should be as nice as possible. The Mishnahs even talk about, as if I'm going to eat a series of fruits, which fruit do I make the bracha on? They're all bar grapes. I have an apple and a pear and grapes and pomegranate. Oh, fruit bar. I'm planning to nosh from a number of different fruits. So, a fruit bar. So they're all eitz. So which one do I make eitz? Machlokes HaTanan, Mishnah Brachos. Do I give preference to the one I enjoy most? That's what I should eat first. Or do I give preference to the one which is Shivas Haminu? What's the machine you're talking about? You want to eat it first. Eat it first. Like, I'm mechuyev to eat what I like first. What's going on? The answer is yes. Why? Not because you're always mechuyev to enjoy your food as much as possible. Nice thing to do. That's not a halachic obligation. You must enjoy your food as much as possible. Unless you're making a bracha on it. The shaft of Nusuf is that when you make a birkas hananin, so it's clear from a number of gemaras that the bracha covers all the food you eat. Right? You make one bracha and you eat as many fruits as you want, but it's chal primarily on the first food. The food that you hold, the food that you eat from first. And there are a number of nafkaminas in that. One of the nafkaminas is a nafkamina for what happens if you drop that piece of food and so on and so forth. But one nafkamina is right here, that we see the bracha as being chal primarily on the first piece. So Hidur Mitzvah dictates that first piece should be a nice piece. And the Machlokes HaTanan, for instance, about in the Mishnah and brachas is it better Hidur Mitzvah if it's what I subjectively enjoy most, or is it better Hidur Mitzvah if it's objectively what the Halacha considers best, namely Shivas Hamin. So, but there's value to making the bracha over something that's particularly good to eat. That's why, ideally, there's a discussion about, you know, ideally you want to have a large piece, ideally you want to have a large loaf of bread, a whole loaf of bread, the famous Mustervart, Tatisugya. I think it's either Shal Salanter or maybe Shal Salanter's Talmud of Kali Amsterdam. I think it's Shal Salanter. They said, Shal Salanter. One of his three main familiars, Yitzhak Blazer, was a massive, massive lambda mufla, even before he became close to Shal Salanter. I think they said to Shal Salanter, it's not right. You're hacking him so much with Musar. He wouldn't have learned so much Musar. He could have become bigger Talmud Chacham. So why do you think that was a good trade-off? I mean, he was a fine Talmud Chacham. Shal Salanter himself was a ganz fine Talmud Chacham. And so were his Talmidim. But he could have been even bigger Lamdan if he wouldn't have had to spend so much time learning Musar. So they say, Shal Salanter said, to Dibur Shulchan Aruch, that if you have a small whole loaf and a big half a loaf, so it's better to make a bracha on the small whole loaf as opposed to the big half a loaf, because shleimus is more important than gadlus. So he said, here too. Shleimus is more important than gadlus. It's a good verb. Be that as it may, so you're going to make a bracha on a piece of food. It should be nice, again. It should be big. It should be shalim. You can figure out what the triage is, how you prioritize different hidurim, and ideally the bread should have a spread on it. Many times, especially if bread isn't so good, you want it to have salt, you want it to have spread. So the Gemara says on Daf Mem, So a guy, a fellow makes a hamotzi, and he realizes he's missing the knife. He realizes he's missing the spread, which is not only personal preference, but of halachic value. So the Gemara says, you're lavish, you say hamotzi lachem in the aretz, and then you say, excuse me, can you please pass the salt? So everyone at the table faints. Hefsek, what are you doing? You're talking after hamotzi, what are you eating? Gemara says, it's fine. Why? Because that's Torah Chasuda, it's not Hefsek. That's relevant to what's going on. I made hamotzi to eat the bread. In order to eat the bread, I need the knife. In order to eat the bread properly, I need the salt, I need the lifton, I need the spread. So that's not a Hefsek, because that was Torah Chasuda. The Poskim talk about this is unusual then, at least it looks unusual to see it. In Milosh Ron Esrei, which Shem tomorrow night we start for Saint Amatul Racha. So, of course, there's always that guy who forgets Saint Amatul Racha. It's a part of the, I remember my Rebbe at grade point here, that one of the reasons why it's important to come on time to davening is because he once had a Talmud who came very late to Maariv tomorrow night, the night they start Saint Amatul Racha, and he didn't hear the clock. He came after the Star Shema, he came tomorrow to Star Shema Esrei. So he missed the clock at the beginning of right before Shema Esrei, and he didn't know they switched over. And probably for like weeks, maybe months, he just kept saying the same bracha. He never got the memo. So that's not the only reason why it's important to come with it. There's value to come with time for time. But so let's say you talk about, you heard the clock, and you still. And maybe even for the best of reasons, I was very focused with Faino. There are people in the family that I was davening for, friends that I was davening for, neighbors that I was davening for, and he forgot to say the Matzah Bracha. Now I'm in the middle of Tzkab HaShofar, I'm in the middle of Modim, and I have to figure out, do I go back, do I not go back, what do I go back to, what do I do, Shema Kolein, I have to do something, I'm not sure what I should do. So if you have a sitter with a dinan in the back, you flip to the back, a sack sitter, or a shvah sitter, take a look. Let's say you don't. So then, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to walk over to the shelf, and take a Mishnah Berurah off the Chayadim off the shelf, and look at the din. Or take the Ashkel sitter off the shelf. Look at the din. Milosh Ron Esrei, absolutely. That's Tzorach HaTefila. I might even be able to motion someone. I'm trying to figure out what to do. I have to have sick. It's not a hefsek. That's Tzorach HaTefila. So that's all rooted in that Gemara in Brachos Daf Mem. That Gemara in Brachos Daf Mem. That's one way. And then if you take Tosus, you saw that Tosus there expands the voice. It says Shchito also. Sometimes between the bracha and the shchita, the guy says the bracha ala shchita, and then there may sometimes be things are necessary to discuss in order to shine. I may even ask you, did you sharpen this knife? Ideally, obviously, I should have those conversations beforehand. Ideally, you should have check all the boxes before you make the bracha. Like under the chuppah, many have the mayor besides the tradition have the practice, and you have all the conversation you need to have with the eidim. You have before you make the bracha, the Birkas Eris, since you go straight from the bracha to the Kiddushin, to Hariat Mekudesh. But Lamasa, if there's things you need to discuss you haven't yet, so that's a Tzorech, so then it's not a Hefz. So that's one model for how you define how long a period of time or what's going on that's still not a Hefz. Something that was with Tzorech, that's not a Hefz. And then you take a look at a Gemara earlier in Brachos, Daf Chavdal in the days, and it appears in Rosh Hashanah as well in a more expanded version. The Gemara says, let's say even they weren't even doing any hefsek, I wasn't saying anything, I wasn't having a conversation, but I just paused. The Gemara says the fellow pauses in the middle of Kriyat Shema. Alright, pause in the middle of Kriyat Shema. There was a whole discussion, am I allowed to say Kriyat Shema in a place that's not clean? A place, an area that's soiled. So it has a bad smell, decay, human waste, whatever it is. Mavos have it to nothos. It's a dirty alley. A smelly, dirty, soiled alley. So the Gemara says it may not be permitted to say Kriyat Shema there. And the Gemara tells a story of an Amora who's walking through, and as he's not saying Kriyat Shema, he's walking, and then he gets to a place where there's a smell of human waste, so he stops. And he keeps walking. Finally, the smell goes. He gets out of the alleyway. The smell goes away. And now he wants to continue Kriyat Shema. Now he starts clearing. Do I say continue where I'm up to, or does that pause send me back to the beginning again? Do I have to start from the beginning again? So there's the whole debate, and it's more expanded in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara has a discussion. Is there a din of shaha kedei ligmar es kulam? That if you pause so long enough, the amount of time it takes to say the entire Kriya Shema, so then, very good. So then you have to go back to the beginning. Or not. More as a debate. Do you say that? I wasn't mafsik besicha. I didn't start shmoozing in the middle of Kriya Shema. But I just stopped. I paused. So that's when is the pause long enough that I have to go back to the Gemara discusses? Maybe that's the shear. Shah, okay, look at more school. Now, time we take to say Kriya Shema. If that was one of your pause, then you can't just continue where you're up. You have to go back to the beginning. So says Rav Yaakov, look at this Gemara. And it sounds like that's what's going on. It sounds like Shehiya, the shear of Shehiya, is one of these types of Shi'urim. So he points out that the Yaakov Kamesky in his comments on Daf Tes and Aleph, in Emes Yaakov and Chulin, so he points out the two positions in Amoraim, Rav Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan, sound like Shi'urim of Hefsek. The amount of time, in the middle of a Shemitah, you might need. I started shechting, and now I'm not sure, did I cut enough? So I might need to do a bedika siman to see how much I cut. And I say, I didn't cut enough. Okay, so then I have to shech more. And, or maybe in the middle of shechita, I get worried, maybe the knife is not right. So I'm going to check the knife to see whether the knife is kosher or not. So if Yaakov says, offhand, these sound like shiurim of hesech hadah, shiurim of hesek. As a matter of fact, I would add, even if you go back to the Mishnah, the other Shita, the Tanakama sounds like Shalkeh Limer Skula. The Tanakama says it's the amount of time it takes. If you pause for long enough to do a whole Shita, so that's too long a pause. That matter sounds like Shalkeh Limer Skula. So Rabbi Yaakov says, at first blush, this is the way he presents it, at first blush, it sounds like these Shi'urim are all very natural Shi'urim. And the essential, logically necessary shear. That's the shear of Hefsek. That's the shear, the amount of time it takes to do these critical acts, which one might legitimately need to do in the middle of a shechita, or I would add, Shavi Ligmor's Kula, the classic shear of Shehiyah. And then you understand, apparently, the way Rav Yosef read the Mishnah was that a Jew has to do a bedika simanim, a shogeg has to do a bedika simanim after the shechita, and therefore, the shogeg is shechting, if he always needs to, when he thinks he might be done, he's always going to stop and do a bedika simanim. That's what you do. That's the din. After all, that's Shmuel said that if you're afraid to do right after shechita, you do a bedika simanim. Shmuel says, that's Tzaner of Shemin. If you're only shohei long enough, you're shohei up until long enough to do bedika siman. That's what you have. That's a tzorach hashrita. But more than that, that's already shehiya posel. That's Rabbi Yaakov says. Well, one way of looking at the Gemara is that these are really essential, necessary shiur. And then we understand the logic of how Rabbi Yosef saw from the Mishnah that. That you see from the Mishnah that you need to do bedikas simanim. That's why that's the shear hefsek. And then Yaakov goes on to say, on the other hand, maybe not. He said, on the other hand, nearly. He said, the truth is, this is fancy. I think pashup shot. It's just a shear. There's just a shear. There's a certain number of seconds. He doesn't quote the Gemara. He doesn't quote any of these Gemaras. He just talks. I think all these Gemaras that I'm quoted that I laid out for you to see, the Gemara in Brachas and Rosh Hashanah and the Gemara in Erevin, I think these are all the Gemaras he's assuming that you're aware of. He says, it's just the shear. After all, the Gemara in Erevin says, and it gets quoted in Sukkot, lo, shiurin chatzitzin mechitzin halacha l'moshe misinai. The Gemara says there are certain areas of halacha that are dominated by halachas l'moshe misinai. First on the list is shiurin. Shiurin chatzitzin mechitzin. Those three areas of halacha. Nor to the Shi'urim tend to be halacha l'moshe misinai. They're going to ask Akasha, both the Erev and Sukkah. Don't we have a pasuk? We learn all these different Shi'urim. We have a medrash. We learn all these different, so many Shi'urim from the Shivas Haminim. There's certain Shi'urim to do with Chita, certain Shi'urim to do with Sa'ora, Kazayas is all over the place. Rimonim, so on and so forth. They're going to say, nah, that's not really the Mokar. The Mokar is halacha l'moshe misinai. You can use that pasuk as an asmachta, to remember many shiurim, but the makar is really halacha l'moshdinai, shiurim halacha l'moshdinai. It's the Gemara begins. So Gacha says, maybe these are just, since nearly, it's a shiur, shiur is a din. We already know that shiur itself, the whole notion of shiur is halacha l'moshdinai. Right? That was the Gemara of Chavches, halacha kashot tzivisicha, halacha l'moshdinai. So the shiur is certainly halacha l'moshdinai. Either the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu formulated to Moshe Rabbeinu, or the way Chacham the later generation formulated is, these are convenient ways to remember the number of seconds. These are obviously things that are meaningful to Shochet. Every Shochet is going to know how long it takes to Shach, how long did that. So Yaakov says, and in terms of that last point, of how did Rav Yosef think he could prove that you there's a Chiyuv B'dikas Simanim? So Yaakov says in the second version, the point is just that apparently this is something that all Shoftim know about. Rav Yosef thought that Rav Shimon was saying Bedika Simanim, meaning as though that's something everyone knows about. How does everyone know about that? Apparently everyone doesn't. So it was a looser proof. Is it? If this is, you're saying Kedei Bikur Simanim as though everyone knows what that means, apparently everyone does it. And that was Rav Yosef's right. So Abai said, maybe that's not what the Mishnah means at all. So what we have so far, and let's wrap up and encapsulate for next time. What we have so far, again, the Gemara ostensibly is talking about a din, a chiyuv b'dikas simanim, in the course of which the Gemara got dug into maybe we can or maybe we can't prove the chiyuv b'dikas simanim from the Mishnah about Shehiyah Alam and Beis. Over the course of the Gemara and looking back at the Mishnah, we come up with three different possible shiurim for the psul shehiyah: either kedei shchita, kedei bikur simanim, or kedei bikur hasakim. And your Rav Kamensky pointed out to us that there are two ways you could read this Gemara, two ways you could understand what these shiurim are about and how they relate to our din of the memra of Shmuel. You could read these shiurim as being very natural shiurim, because after all, that's what we're talking about. Or stop, halacha l'moshdinai shesinai, dina hachi. It's fascinating in its own right, and which what we'll see next time is this may relate to a larger machlokas. Thinking about how you understand the shiurim may relate to a larger machlokas of how you understand the whole lumdus of the psul shehiyah in general. And that, Rav suggested, is a machlokas, big machlokas of Rishonim, a machlokas of Ashitosis. We'll see, it may even be more sharply a machlokas of Rajba and Ra'ah. How you understand the whole notion, what is it about shehiyah that passes of Shechita? How does that work? Or what are the mechanics of that? And it could be that fundamental machlokas of the nature of the psul shehiyah is being reflected here in terms of how you understand what the shiur should be. And there is a certain poetic justice in using the idea of the Rav to marrying it to an idea of Yaakov Kamenetsky, because historically they actually had a havni at one point to open a yeshiva together. The Rav, before he came to YU, when his father Moshe was still alive, Rav initially came to Boston and opened a small yeshiva in Boston, Heicha Reino Chaim HaLevi. And I think there's some historical evidence to indicate that he was in negotiations with Yaakov Kamenetsky about going in together into the yeshiva. I think the plan was that the Rav would be the Rosh Yeshiva and Yaakov Kamenetsky would be the Mashkiach. Ultimately, it didn't happen, but there's justice perhaps in bringing them back together in the Sugya to put together the comments of the Yaakov Kamenetsky, the comments of the Rav. Rishon will continue with that.